Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we just invite you to teach us, to grow us, and to impart this morning the very heart of Jesus, the heart of a servant, into this house. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's take our Bibles this morning. We're going to have to get after it a little bit, but we'll get it done supernaturally. Let's say this together. These are our Bibles. The most humble thing we can do is agree with who God says we are. And He says, we are kings and we are priests. One is our position and one is our posture. And just like Jesus, our way up is down. Down to serve, down to help, and down to strengthen others. Lots to talk about this morning. I do encourage you to be some wonderful truths the Holy Spirit has for us this morning. If you want to take notes or have your phone ready if you need to snapshot some slides. But we're talking about the series Foundations, as the Lord is inviting us to participate with foundations that make a great church. Psalm 11:3, God's Word translation, when the foundations of life are undermined, when they're not present or when they're undervalued, what can even the righteous do? And so the Lord's giving us these building blocks for a great church. The first one we looked at, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. Great churches are built upon Christ, the foundation of foundations. And listen to this, knowing Him in the present tense. Great churches are built upon knowing Christ in the present tense. I know that Jesus died and rose again, and He was around a couple thousand years ago, and we believe that that happened. Hey, even the demons believe that. Even the demons believe that and tremble, I might add. But knowing Him in the present tense. The second one is cultivating the unity of the Spirit. Great churches don't always agree on everything, but we do understand something bigger than our belief is here, and is Christ and His kingdom. Great churches understand that exponential power is released in unity and in agreement. And then the third foundation we looked at last week is humility. Great churches are humble churches who understand two things. Number one, where we'd be without Jesus. That's a revelation. Where would we be without Christ? But humble churches also are people who recognize we're not without Christ. Okay, so I got to know my condition independent of Jesus, but I also need to know my condition is not independent of Jesus. Humility is the blessed balance of those two. And like we talked about last week, if you think that you're more than who God says you are, then you're struggling with pride. But if you think you're less than who God says you are, you're still struggling with pride. Because pride is self-centered, self-focused, self-based righteousness, if you will. Humility says, you know what? God's opinion of me and this church is bigger than my opinion of me and this church. The most humble thing we can do is agree with Him, agree with the truth, and then humble churches also recognize that God opposes the proud, but gives grace, supernatural strength and power to the humble. So we become great candidates for the grace of God, not because the name of the church is Grace Church, but because there's a humble people on the inside. He opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Let's look at the fourth foundation this morning, and it is a servant's heart. A servant's heart. We're going to go to Matthew 20 and verse 20, God's Word translation. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her two sons, and she bowed down in front of Jesus to ask Him for a favor. He said, "What can I do for you?" And she said to Him, "Promise that one of my sons will sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." How many of you think the boys put mama up to that? Maybe mama's just being mama, trying to promote her boys along the way. It's good to see Jesus had problems in His early church too. Amen. Even Jesus guys are jockeying for position. Look at verse 24. When the other 10 apostles heard about this, they were irritated with the two brothers. See, they're even fighting back then with Jesus' group. Verse 25, Jesus called the apostles and He said, "You know that the rulers of nations have absolute power over people and their officials have absolute authority over people. But that's not how we're going to do it. It won't be that way among you. Whoever wants to become great Let him become a servant. Verse 27, whoever wants to be most important among you will be your slave. It's the same way with the Son of Man. He didn't come so that others could serve him. He came to serve and give his life a ransom for many people. Isn't that something? That's a little bit upside down from what we see in the world. Jesus was very adamant in declaring that greatness among his people was not going to be like greatness in the world. He never rebuked his disciples for wanting to be great. He just said, make sure you don't go about greatness the way the world does. Because greatness in the kingdom of God is not how many people serve you. It's how many people you serve. It's how many people you lay your life down for. How many of you know we're going to be rewarded not for what we do, but how and why we do what we do? Motive is everything in the New Testament. Just ask the Pharisees when Jesus said, hey, I know you feel justified because you haven't slept with your neighbor. But I tell you the truth, if you even look on a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. So motive is everything in the New Covenant. Did we partner with God this year as a church family out of a pure heart and a servant's heart? And we thought, Lord, you laid out these foundations, and we said, yes, and we want to dance with you, we want to participate with you. We humbly agree. Or did we come at it with some wrong motive? Did we go after the increase? Remember we talked about some sow, some water, but only God gives the increase. A lot of churches get off track because they go after increase. We have nothing to do with increase. We sow and we water, and God gives the increase. Did we go after it with stepping on the shoulders of other people so we could be great? Were we in competition with other churches? We want to be better than them, so we want to be great. No, from a pure heart and a servant's heart to simply carry out our master's desire. Fleshly desire for greatness corrupts both the aspirant and those he steps on to be great. Think about that. When you go about greatness in the flesh, you're going to corrupt both parties. The one who's aspiring gets corrupted, and the people he steps on get wounded. But in Jesus' kingdom, with a servant's heart, guess what happens? Not only are the people who get served blessed and go up, but those who do the serving go up as well. Kingdom principle. You want to be great or find advancement in your job? You serve. You don't step on people. We're not like the world. We have a Father who does our promoting. Come on, somebody. Amen. Jesus demonstrates here, he's introducing the concept that the way up is down. And is Jesus the way, the truth, and the life? Is he the way you and I are designed to live? Is he the truth about us? Yes, he's our model. He's our example. He said, follow me 20 times. So if Jesus says his way up is down, guess what way your way up is? Down to serve, down to help, down to encourage, down to strengthen others, especially among leaders. I want you to get this. A true leader understands the progression of descending to greatness. Everybody say this with me, descending to greatness. Go ahead, descending to greatness. A true leader understands the process of descending to greatness. Did anybody descend lower than Jesus Christ? And yet the Father has exalted him to the highest place in the universe. The church carries the hope of the world. The church is not the answer, but we carry the hope of the world. Church membership is not going to save anybody, not going to empower anybody. Jesus Christ living triumphantly in the human heart will save a bunch of people and will empower them greatly. So the church carries hope of the world, and yet Christ-filled, servant-hearted leaders are the hope of the church. I love, Annie, I love the anointing that God's placed on you. I love it. It's so strong, and yes, you're young in Him, and you're young. I mean, you look young. You'll receive that. But hey, the church carries the hope of the world, but it's Christ-filled, servant-hearted leaders are the hope of the church, regardless of age. And some of you sitting in here today are the future servant-hearted leaders of Grace Church. Amen. Because I'm telling you, this thing will not live and die with us. Because this is not about us. This is about a king and his kingdom. And people of the earth being introduced to a culture of heaven that they can have here. Who wants to wait till you're dead and in heaven to overcome depression? Is there any depression in heaven? No. And yet he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is there. It's a kingdom outpost. It's an opportunity for people to be introduced to the culture of a king who didn't go about greatness the way the world does and yet completely changed the world. Some of you are the future servant-hearted leaders of Grace Church. And as you come on in leadership capacities here to love and to serve this body and this family, guess what you're going to hear? You're going to hear things like John 15. No greater love has a man than this, that he would step on a bunch of people to exalt himself. You're not going to hear that. No greater love has a man than this, than a man that would lay down his life for his friends. And then in John 10, Jesus said that one, but Jesus said in John 10, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. John 10, he said, no one takes my life from me, I lay it down. John 13, Jesus took a towel, wrapped it around his waist, and he washed the disciples' feet. Jesus Christ, the greatest servant leader that the world has ever seen. And he trusted in his Father that he would be protected and he would be safe. And I'm telling you, if that was his way to the highest place, that's our way to the highest place, is serving with a servant's heart. And it's written into you. It heightens you. It causes your heart and mind to sing. Why? Because if you're selfish and you go after greatness with a wrong motive, all about you, you hurt yourself and you hurt everybody else you step on. But in servanthood and with a servant's heart, you not only bless people, you get blessed and heightened in the process. It is a kingdom life principle. The laws that govern life were written before you got here. We're not making them up as we go. You either dance with them and find freedom, as Jesus said, when you dance with the truth, or you oppose them and you get broken. You can't live at cross purposes with the nature of God without getting hurt. And that's not because God is going to hurt you. It's because hurt is built into living life against its design. And as a human being, you're designed for love, you're designed for faith, you're designed for joy, and you're designed for peace. And where the world in our nation ever figures that out or not, that's the people we are. Amen. Will you give God praise for that in this house this morning? That's who we are. And I declare that churches will no longer do a great disservice to serving. I declare churches will no longer do a great disservice to serving. And this is why, because serving and a servant's heart and servanthood is not a church program. It's not labor. It's an invitation to change the attitude of your heart. You should not be sitting here today thinking, oh man, I got to find a place to serve. You should be hearing today, Jesus is personally inviting me to examine the attitude and motive of my heart. And I want a heart like his. I want to have a servant's heart. And guess what happens? When you walk with Jesus, your best friend, and you marry yourself to his servant's heart, he will guide you where you can give and where you can be invested and where you can be spent. Amen? Amen. Not serving so I'll get something, but serving because I have so much to give. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. When the foundation of servanthood is presented, not as a program, but as an attitude of the heart, it doesn't sound forced, it sounds fulfilling. Think about it. When the church now, there's a shift in the body of Christ, I'm just declaring it in faith, that serving is no longer presented as a church program. Serving is presented as an attitude of the heart. And when I hear that, it doesn't sound forced and it doesn't sound foreign. It sounds fulfilling. It doesn't sound like sand, it sounds like oil in my machinery. Does that make sense to you? All of a sudden, servanthood is not about me doing something. It's about the attitude and motive of my heart. And I want to be married to the character and nature of Jesus, who said, hey, you want to be great? Serve. Serve. Don't jockey for position. Just be given. Doesn't sound like weights. It sounds like wings. A church with a servant's heart is a church with the very heart of Jesus. You know, when we brought all the elders up before you this morning, I want you to understand, a church with a servant's heart from top to bottom in that church is a church with the heart of Jesus. And all these elders, we're not the top of Grace Church, we're the bottom. We're the bottom of Grace Church. In other words, Lord, make us, mold us, and use us. You can build on us. We'll be given. Does that make sense? I know it's opposite of the world and the, what are they, pyramid schemes and all that kind of stuff. The heart of Jesus is serving. We know it from Philippians 2 and John 13. Because we forget that Jesus Christ was servant of all before he was Lord of all. Here's Philippians 2. I'm going to say that again. Jesus was servant of all before he was Lord of all. Yeah. Philippians 2, 3, let nothing, everybody say let nothing. Yeah. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or vain conceit. I looked up the word nothing in the Greek. Guess what it means? Nothing. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or vain conceit, but with all lowliness of mind, let each of you esteem others as better than himself. What a church culture. Yeah. Now, I'm not talking about everybody's walking around saying we're no good. That's not humility. Okay? We're talking about walking around and regarding the value of every person that comes in here. I love what Pastor Gretchen says every week. You know, we treat visitors and guests as answered prayer. Not as, hey, you're in my seat, or hey, what are you doing here? With all humility of mind, let each of you regard others as better than self. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but for the interest of others. Verse 5, here you go. Let this mind be in you, because it was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it equality with God something to be reached for. Did you hear that? Jesus Christ did not consider equality with God something to ascend to, something to go after, something to reach for. What did he do instead? He made himself of no reputation. He took the form of a bondservant and he came in the likeness of men. Jesus did not spend all of his time on earth reaching up to God and walking past half-dead people on his way to the Father. Because he knew, John 13:3, that the Father had given all things into his hands. He was no longer aspiring to be close to God. He wanted to reach down to humanity. Yeah. Too many Christians spend their whole Christian life trying to ascend up to God, try to get close to God, trying to get up to God, and they're walking by all these half-dead people. The Father, if he's given all things into Christ's hands and Christ is in you, the Father has given all things into your hands and you're free to serve and to give now. Amen. You're free to serve and to be given. You're not working your way up to heaven. You can't get closer than Jesus Christ living inside you. The church has lost credibility with communities because we went into our communities with our hands open to receive instead of our hands full to give. Amen. Amen, amen. So we can't spend all of our time ascending to God and not descending down to help humanity and serve those around us. Verse 8 says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of his own death, even death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name above every name. So he's got the highest seat in the universe because he went to the lowest place. Jesus had great credibility with people because he loved and served people with no strings attached. How many of you are familiar with the Nest Entertainment videos? They're like cartoon videos of Jesus from Nest Entertainment. I cry when I watch these things. It's so beautiful, so powerful. And I remember watching one several years ago where Jesus had come into town. He started healing people and people were getting well and being touched. And a little boy ran back to his mom at his house. And he said, Mom, you have to come out and meet this guy because he heals people and doesn't charge them money. Jesus had great credibility with people because he would serve and he would love and he would give with no strings attached. That needs to be the body of Christ today. Amen. running into our communities with our hands full, ready to give instead of trying to receive. Why did we run out there with all the fundraisers and we got to do this, we got to have money? Why? It's from a position of lack. But we don't lack for anything. Do we have everything we could ever want? Well, no, but we don't lack for anything. And we need to be a representation that our Father owns cattle on 1,000 hills. So when we run to the community, we run with our hands full. Why? Because the Father has committed all things into our hands. That's John 13:3. Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into his hands, took a towel, wrapped it around his waist, and washed the disciples' feet. That's verse 4. Only when you know you lack nothing can you serve with genuineness and no strings attached. So Jesus' mind, that we're to have the same mind, was to take his lofty position as a king and utilize it to serve all the broken people around him as a priest. Was Jesus a king? Yes. Was he also a priest? Yes. Did he use his lofty king status to lord over everybody? No. Did he take his lofty wealth and all that he had as a king in the kingdom of God and use it to serve as a priest? Yes, he did. The word eros, E-R-O-S, is the Greek word for erotic love. That's where we get the word erotic love. It's kind of like lust. It's a love towards beautiful and high and lovely. That's eros love. Well, they had to invent a Greek word for Jesus, agape. And they came up with this word that embodied a love that reached down. A love that could love people who weren't the highest, weren't the best, weren't the most beautiful. A love that loved the unlovely. That's our master. That is our king. So Jesus is a king and a priest. Guess what you are? You're a king. He's the king of kings, isn't he? Well, who's the kings? You are. So you're a king and a priest. One is your position. One is your posture. One connotes how much wealth you have, how much you've got to give. You're a king. One connotes how you go about distributing it. Only God could make being royalty and then using it, not to lord over everybody, but using it to serve humanity, a living blend. Only God could do that. So we see in Philippians this right here. We see Jesus not aspiring to reach up to God, but reaching down to humanity. Lord, let this same heart be written into us this morning. That's why I don't like religion. You guys know the parable of the Good Samaritan, right? The priest and the Levite, did they stop to help the guy on the side of the road? No, they were on their way to God. And on their way up, they walked past a half-dead man. We can't spend our whole Christian life trying to earn stuff that's already ours and end up walking past all the hurting people on the side of the road. There's a grace in this house to love and to serve. I don't know if you're aware of that. There's a grace in this house to give. If you've been here very long, I think you know it. Lots of people come and go, but this heart remains. We want to love, we want to serve, and we want to give with no strings attached. We're just graced to do it. It's part of the culture of Grace Church. Look at all the CDs, probably 150,000 teaching CDs we've given away for free. For free. And then you can get all these downloads. You can get all the teaching downloads and stuff online for free. Podcast for free. When the youth did the outreach at Christmas, remember, for the orphans and how they blessed them, and then they blessed the ministry owners too, and they blessed two other families and all those children, the special needs kids, they did that for nothing. Just to be a blessing. And then the White Horse Girls Ranch outreach. We bestow beauty and gifts and love on those girls. What do we want in return? Nothing. It's just a demonstration of how full our hands are. We were at Greater Love Missionary Baptist Church this past week praying. We went over there to pray with the pastor and pray for their church. He took us upstairs where their 100-gallon hot water heater had sprung a leak. It's really old. I don't know. They might have to just get a brand new one. It ruined a bunch of tile. It messed a bunch of stuff up. And guess what I said to him? Just tell us how much it is. Just let us know how much it is. We're going to help. Isn't it great to be out and about with your hands full? Ready to give? Go ahead and give God praise. Amen. We want to help. And I said, because when you're strengthened, we're strengthened. Because we're part of the same team, brother. And if you're hurting, then we're hurting and we're going to do something about it. Because we can. Man, amen, amen. We even had one of our, we don't have church members, but you know what I mean. One of our members, this just happened this past week. She's in Walmart. She's talking to the cashier at Walmart. And she's talking about the Lord, of course, and Grace Church. And the cashier said, I know about Grace Church, but I only get to go. I work every Sunday. I only get to go when I'm on vacation. But I love Pastor Steve. I love listening to the messages and all that kind of stuff. And so our church member, Grace person, said, well, are you still listening to the CDs? And she said, no, my CD player is broken. And she said, well, can you come back here and help me for just a second? Will they get mad at you if you leave the... And she said, no, as long as I'm helping you, it's okay. Well, she walked her back to where they sold CD players. Bought her a CD player and gave it to her. Amen. Hands full. Hands full, not a lack mentality. See a need and meet it. We make evangelism so difficult, it's not. Just being a blessing. We were doing a free carnation outreach the Saturday before Mother's Day. This grand idea. Mother's Day is on a Sunday, so we're at Dollar General on a Saturday. This is some years back, but we're giving away free carnations to all the dads and little boys who might forget. And it's amazing how many of them, oh, we're so thankful. Thank you. Not just now I have something to give, but for reminding me as well. We're out there giving away these free carnations. And listen to what this guy said to me. I wrote it down. He said, I've been in church my whole life, and I've never put Christianity and servanthood together. He'd never thought about it. And yet you and I know about Philippians 2, and we know about Matthew 20, and we know about Mark 9 when he said, well, the greatest of all be servant of all. We know about John 13, but he said he'd never put those two together. And here's what I told him. This is what I said to him. Servanthood allows people who may not be looking for God to have an encounter with the God who is looking for them. Good answer. Good answer. Amen. Amen. Just us serving, just us being kind, just us looking for opportunity, just like at Walmart, wherever we may be, serving allows people who may not be looking for God to have an encounter with the God who's looking for them. Jesus Christ would walk into town. He would serve that entire town. Whoever would come out, whoever was within reach, whatever, he'd teach them, right? He'd even feed them, multiply loaves and fishes. He'd heal their sick. Jesus came with not hands empty asking. Jesus came with hands full giving. This is the body of Christ that Christ is building. This is the church when he said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. That's the church Jesus is building. Not one with a lack mindset, but with hands full. And can I say again how amazing it is? You can't really tell who's blessed more, the people who receive or the people who give. It's a kingdom principle written into your organs. And then he asked me, the gentleman said, why do you guys always do this for free? We want to show God. I said, we want to show God's love. It's free. It can't be paid for. It can't be earned. Salvation cannot be paid for. It's free. And what we find in that type of outreach is we got a lot of receiving challenged people. Yeah. They have a hard time receiving. It's just a carnation. We don't want your money. Just take it. That's what we were doing. I don't know if I said that. We weren't selling carnations for Mother's Day outreach. We were giving them. We were selling them. And you think we went home sad? Man, I can't believe we gave away all those carnations. We should have charged $50, you know, for all the... We went home demonstrating the heart of someone named Jesus who gave us his very life. He gave us more than just a carnation. He gave us himself for free. You can clap your hands and give God praise for that. Amen. The beauty of serving churches is that you have bankers serving next to bikers. You have men serving next to women. You have black serving next to white, and so on. Why? Because we're all the same at the foot of the cross. And that's what happens in servanthood. Amen. Amen. That's what happens in servanthood. I'm going to say this in a second, but it's so nice I got to say it twice. 100% of strife and racism and all that stuff would be ended in churches if everyone just had the heart of a servant. If everybody had it. And when you hear this presented, like I'm saying this morning, this is not a church program for involvement. This is an invitation to change the attitude of your heart. You do that, it's going to be fulfilling. It's not forced. It's fulfilling. Look at this one. This one's good fun. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it happened as they went that Jesus entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She's distracted by serving. So there's a difference between serving and the heart of a servant. And you're about to witness it right here. We're going to see it manifest. She approached Jesus and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, you tell her," she's rebuking the Son of God, "you tell her to help me." Are you kidding me? You ever meet those people who serve and then they're like mad at you because you're not doing it? Man, don't even do it if your heart's not in it. If you can't serve out of love and generosity, or the only reason you're serving, so I'll do the same thing. Man, move on down the road. Because you're not getting any reward for what you're doing. It's based on how and why you do what you do. Isn't that awesome? If you can't pick up the house with a good heart, don't do it. If you're just going to shame everybody in the house because they're not doing what you're doing, we're purging this church this morning. Next week, we'll have 25, Jody, if we're lucky, next week. And all the guys are saying, "Well, he said if my heart's not in it, I didn't have to do it." Come on, guys. You better talk to Jesus. All right. Verse 41, and Jesus answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary's chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." In other words, I'm not removing her from my feet. I'm not going to do anything about that. You know, Martha was serving, but she didn't have the heart of a servant. She was full of worry and stress. She's rebuking Jesus. She's mad at her own sister. People like that, and I don't know that Martha was always like that, but it's a great instance. Aren't you glad you're not in the Bible? I mean, think how many times you and I could have been in there. Yikes. So I don't know if she is always like that, but she's helping us. Thank you, Martha, for allowing us to read about this. But she's serving with an ulterior motive. She's got an agenda. She's not serving with a pure heart, with pure motives. She's serving with the idea that everybody ought to be doing what I'm doing, and they ought to do it just like I'm doing it. Oh, I know. It's hitting us where we live. Here it is. 100% of strife in churches could be avoided if everyone took the heart of a servant. That's good stuff. And that's why we don't present these things to you. We're laying these foundations and cultivating them. It's not some church growth program. This is an attitude that God wants cultivated in his people that resonates in this house. That we're here to serve. We're here to be given. We're here to help. Amen. I mean, that's the way it ought to be. That's what he's doing. What do you mean I can't be a frontline singer? What do you mean I got to rotate? Aren't you aware of my ministry? Oh, really? You got your own ministry now. I mess up my pastor friends because I'll tell them, listen, there's really only one ministry on the planet, and it's the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're just part of that. I don't get down with my ministry and all that kind of business. But what do you mean I can't be a lead Bible study teacher? Aren't you aware of how gifted I am? Servant-hearted people are not concerned with territory. They're not concerned with being seen. They're not concerned with all the accolades. Amen. Pastor, I'll serve wherever you need me to because I don't have an agenda. I don't have territory. I just have a heart to serve. Where can I help? You know, even me, I don't want to just serve here. I want to have the heart of a servant. Now, this may shock you, so get ready. I don't agree with 100% of what goes on here. Are there things that go on here that I would do differently? Sure, there's a few things, not a lot of things. But how could I ever invite you to take on the heart of a servant if I don't have one? So you got to allow for team, and you allow for growth, and you allow for gift, and amen. I can't ask you to do it if I'm not willing to do it. You know, we see, as I was saying earlier, there's such a culture here for serving and giving with no strings attached. We had a funeral earlier this week, and it got back to me that there was a lady who came, and she had never been here, but she said, you know, I was told that when you go to Grace Church, whether you go on a Sunday or you go for some, you know, food deal or you go for a funeral, you're going to be loved and you're going to sense great acceptance there. That, you know what, that's culture. That's just the culture and attitude of a group of people who really love and care about other human beings. I mean, it almost sounds like love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jeremy, you guys can come. I want to give you one more, guys. Mark chapter 9. This one's going on the fridge this week, guys. Mark 9, 33. Jesus came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked the disciples, hey guys, what were you guys arguing about among yourselves on the road? Now, they didn't tell him. He didn't hear them. This is a word of knowledge. But they kept silent because they're smart. They kept silent, for on the road they were arguing among themselves who would be the greatest. Verse 35, and Jesus sat them down and he called the 12 disciples and he said, hey, if any one of you guys wants to be first, he's going to be last of all. Whoever wants to be greatest will be servant of all. Jesus was not selective in his serving. He served humanity out of the purity of his own heart, not because everybody deserved it. Does that make sense? Because I know a lot of people who are selective in their serving. They'll serve their race. They'll serve their denomination. They'll serve their political party. I mean, you got to get a glimpse here. Jesus washed Judas' feet. Someone he knew would betray him wasn't on his side. Are you tracking with me? Servant of all. Who'd have thought the key word in that passage would be the word all? Will you stand with me? Selective serving won't make us anything great except greatly annoying.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.